So thank you for resting. It's an unusual activity for humanity. So just like to honor each one of us as the sensitivity of space, the receptivity of that, the resilience of the substratum, the one heart, the heart of all traditions. So part of the unfoldment after recognition is noticing all the divine qualities within that are veiled by the apparent human emotions. So the treasure hunt continues just spontaneously through things coming to sit with us and inviting us to look a little deeper, to notice that they are not their form or function. And for each one of us, this will be a completely unique unfoldment. And we'll celebrate it and speak of it with our own words. And it's something I love about all of this life itself. It's ever fresh. Ever fresh. So opening it up to just sharing, what are you noticing? Anything coming to sit with you that's stumping you a bit? Love to hear from you. So just to unmute star 6, and then when it feels complete, star 6 again.
Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning.
Well, what's coming to sit with me, because I'm planning a rather large move after 16 years in one spot, is this not wanting, where I do want to let go, but then I get this horrible anxiety in my stomach. I'm feeling like I want a total clear out of great-grandma stuff, you know, all the, oh, it's an heirloom nonsense. God, and yet, you know, some of it's, I mean, pretty things I like to look at, but then there's this argument going on in my head, but all right, so you're looking at it. You can look at something new for a change.
But yeah, but you don't want the mind to be in charge of even that. And
yes,
I would just share a little story after I fell back into my naturalness. The mind did that to me, and I got rid of all sorts of things that later the heart sort of went, oh.
Okay. That's what I've been afraid of, that it's like, oh, dear.
Yeah, so you just start with the non-essentials and things that don't touch you deeply, and then just see how it goes.
And is there some, because the things that I feel like this, that the mind says is a silly attachment because it's, you know, things of a family and I've no one to pass them on to, that they're non-essential in the sense that they don't have any purpose in terms of use, a lot of them. Or they did, but I don't use them for that. I mean, they're just one.
Yeah, we'll always get a second opinion from the heart.
Okay.
Because the mind is until it really fully roots back into its non-dual naturalness, it'll do the either-or the shoulds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So if there's anything, any sentence you hear in the head that says you should, you know it's not true.
Okay.
That was a helpful thing Neelam pointed out to me, that
okay.
If there's should in the phrase, it's conditioning talking.
Okay.
But you'll know.
All
and
right.
You don't have to let go. That's a whole nother. It's very funny if you think about it, that the mind is telling you shouldn't be attached.
Now that you mention it, that is pretty funny.
It's very funny because the mind is the author of attachment and aversion. So,
well, and just this whole notion of the need to clear out everything and start from zero. I don't, you know, I'm not even sure where that came from.
Yeah, no, that's extreme. So that's also not consciousness. I mean, definitely winnowing out is lovely because you get that felt sense of space and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, plus there's just the practicality of a large move to, you know, another place that's going to be costly if I decide to take the entire place with me. Okay, so just be...
Yeah, thank the mind and then get a second opinion from the heart, or innocence, I call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pamela.
Oh, thank you, love.
Hi, Pamela. It's Carrie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I've missed talking to you, but I've been here on the satsang. But I related to the last caller very, very much in terms of not necessarily feeling attachment to things, but not being able to let go of them. It's not like a heart attachment, but it's like I should, as you said, it's all the conditioning of I should hang on to it. It should mean something to me, or I bought it. I have to keep it.
Yes. Yeah. So just thank the mind for all of its shoulds. It's very generous with those.
I shall. But what I was noticing when we were resting, and I've been noticing this a lot lately, is that my mind just really does not want to let go and rest. And I try it like in yoga to follow the breath, but the mind is much stronger than the breath. It's louder.
Yes, true. Nicely said. Well, see, as soon as we tell the mind, because consciousness is stubborn. So if the mind has some idea it has to let go, it's going to dig in and hold on. So tell the mind, see if this resonates, to tell the mind it doesn't have to hold on or let go.
Then it doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, but it notches down a bit, right?
Not at this moment.
Okay. So well, tell it it doesn't have to do anything it doesn't want to do. It doesn't have to rest or be in go, go, go mode.
It's wanting to solve all the problems, and
yeah,
then
but,
I can rest. And then
yeah, let's say yes to that. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
We'd tell it, yes, go forth. Solve all the world's problems. Very good idea.
I'll sit here and wait for eternity till that happens.
No, but it's coming from the right place. It doesn't want you to suffer. It doesn't want your body to suffer. It doesn't want to suffer.
Mm.
It doesn't want anyone else to suffer. So we're going, yes, yes, yes.
So it's having its own conditioning.
Well, you know, as soon as love becomes contained or constrained, which is even true of the mind, that's when it gets into trouble, so to speak, or we could say imbalance.
Yes.
Just noticing that the mind loves what it loves. It likes what it likes. It doesn't like what it doesn't like. We're just honoring that it's also beingness.
Well, what I want my mind is like when you're having surgery and they inject you with something and you just go into that exquisite place of nowhere. That's what I want. I want to be able to meditate into that quiet, blissful place.
Yes, and the mind keeps you from doing that, apparently?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so ask the mind what its concern is about quieting during meditation. Whatever it says is okay.
I'm not getting what it used to be. I guess maybe it still is, but I'm not as clear on it. It used to be fear of what will be there if I'm not busy figuring mm-hmm. all this out.
Yeah, but just now it didn't say anything, and I think that's actually grace. It didn't say anything. And just reassure it, it's safe to rest. Everything will get done. It's right. Safe to rest. And change the words until it resonates for mm-hmm. you.
Okay. Okay.
The thing here, what noticed, because I had the one mind mm-hmm. in all of us, here was very talkative and active and occasionally harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed it was such a different relationship, so to speak, when I was a friend to it.
Yeah.
Rather than servant master, because it would sometimes think it was the master. And I was its servant, and sometimes I would think it was the servant, and I was the master. Okay. And it was, nobody was happy.
No. I like that. That feels very, it just feels very good to hear that.
Yeah, and just occasionally, just when it gets worried, ask it what it needs, or invite it to notice that relaxation is safe and it actually allows the intellect to sparkle and that radiant one mind to shine and there's no threat.
You know, it would be wonderful if you'd put out a tape, like a meditation tape that we could just put on with your voice telling us all this stuff.
Okay.
Over and over. I think that would be a great thing. Just put on Pamela and I can be quiet.
Okay. You'll have to nudge me on that.
Okay.
To do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Who's still on?
Oh, good. Pamela?
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I'm really nervous asking this question, but I just am dying to ask it, and I'm hoping that it just even a few people out there will relate to it. I guess I would call terrifying vasanas or pain bodies or whatever you want to call them. From some really violent, brutal, violent childhood experiences. So they're full of despair and rage and terror, and they have sort of their own, well, you guys probably know what I'm talking about, this vortex of its own pulling power.
Yes.
And at the same time, I've also had many bliss experiences off and on in my whole life as well. And sometimes these vasanas historically have sort of sucked me into the point where I'm ruled. You know, they take over my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So recently I've had, you know, some, after hard work, I have some sliver of awareness that doesn't seem to get completely lost. I'm 51. So it's, you know, It's like a part of my life. And I've done a lot of inner satsang, outer satsang. And I guess my question is, I wonder if some things just don't ever really want to come home to rest. You know, that there's some lifetimes that are high contrast, no matter what. And, you know, and if that's true, that my job is just to deal with the arisings as they come, because they seem like they never change. It doesn't seem like it ever changes.
Yeah, well, it, my experience is that we need to have the heart-to-heart with them and really honor their upset first.
Mm-hmm.
So just in this moment, just bow to them. It's like having an unruly sangha inside.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once Neelam told me she went to some country in the Middle East, and during satsang, people were on their cell phones and smoking. So it's like having this unruly inner sangha. So I know you mentioned that you've done satsang inside, but just for a moment, honor that they're upset and they don't want to rest. Just in this moment, if that resonates. It's like we're bowing as if you had tigers and lions and bears inside. And no one's going to tell them what to do, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so we're just honoring the lions, tigers, and bears. Honoring their strengths and their...
So what if their agenda, and again, I hope this isn't too freaky, but what if their agenda is to kill this body?
That can be the I thoughts agenda, because it's one of the ways it knows how to get relief. And, you know, just so you know, I totally resonate with what you're talking about, because I lived through it as well. Not as extreme it sounds as your childhood, but that where something inside wants to kill the body.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, just a few times, just inside, just bowing. Once again, as soon as lions, tigers, and bears are in too small a space, they're going to start pulling their claws out and howling and snarling and roaring. And so we're just bowing and just yes, yes, yes. Totally understandable to feel like that.
Strange, there's both rage and pain.
Yeah. But let them know they're both welcome here and tell rage it's right. Meaning we're honoring its view. And we're also honoring the depth of the pain. So it's like the sage is in a sincere, unmoving bow.
Tricky. It hurts because I feel like the rage hates me.
Rage just hates. It's not personal. But just even to that, I had to bow and say, please forgive me. And then if it resonates, I forgive you. Because rage is actually a divine quality. It's not what it appears to be.
Okay.
But it's like the old phrase, rampant lion. It's the lion that's up on its hind legs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just... Just tell it a few times, you're right, you're right.
I wonder what it hates so much.
It,
you know,
from its point of view, it has just cause, because innocence wasn't treated with respect or kindness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still upset about that, and it's up on its hind legs and just swatting anything that gets near it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just thank you for protecting me.
And do I thank it for wanting to kill this body?
No, just say, let's keep the body. Ask it if you had huge space and your dignity, majesty, and strength were honored, I'm talking to Rage,
mm-hmm.
would it be okay to keep the body? Just ask it. Because it's looking for
a yes. Rage.
Yeah, okay, good.
It feels more manageable.
That's
if it's in
it.
The squished, it goes crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than the lion in too small of a cage. Even if
mm-hmm.
you brought it food, it would swipe at you.
Mm-hmm.
And just tell it, please forgive humanity for not knowing who you were. It's your protective lion.
Do you think that that rage stays big for a lifetime?
No. 'Cause it, ask it, has it always been rage?
It's hurt. It's hurt.
Yes.
It feels hurt.
Yeah. And can you agree with that? Because what it encountered, we wouldn't wish on anybody, right?
Right.
And just yes, yes, yes. I'm bowing to its hurt. It's once again, the lion is now showing you its heart. Rage
mm-hmm.
has a heart. Just everything has a heart. Just yes, yes, yes. We never want that to happen again.
What do you do with the, is it the size of it that wants to kill? The piece that wants to kill?
Well, ask it, does it want to kill? Or is it looking for relief?
Yeah, it's looking for voice.
Oh, for a voice?
Yeah, like for, I don't know, it's kind of cosmic. It's enormous.
Yeah.
It's almost a rage at, the God, the creator, the something.
Yeah, but it's I call it the howl.
Mm-hmm.
Like deep down in the stillness, there's a howl, and it's like this big, authentic no.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just really honor it, that cosmic
mm-hmm.
rage or whatever it is? It's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Just really agree with it. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I think it's tough. There's so much hurt and sort of brokenheartedness.
Yes, and in this moment, can you bow to that, though?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you check, it's for you, for innocence, that experienced all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also for innocence everywhere, isn't it? Even the animal innocence. And.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So just we're saying yes, yes, yes. Really bowing to, there's so much truth in it. It's like a longing for harmlessness.
That's right.
Really saying yes, yes, yes. We want all beings to be honored and respected and innocence to be safe and cherished.
Yeah. Do you think that these things really do just arise and fall and arise and fall?
Well, sometimes I think of, it's all consciousness, and I know you know that, but some of it's crystallized out of shock or, because who we are, who life is a constancy of respect. And when it encounters human conditioning that's disrespectful or harsh, it almost freezes. So
yes.
We're just going around thawing everybody and agreeing with them, because it's, I still remember moments when I was just, you know, little tiny pure innocence, just looking at the behavior. I think probably my mouth was open and my eyes were big, and it was just like so unnatural. And my home wasn't so bad, so I can imagine if it was really strong, it's so unnatural, that the human defenses, what they will do. So we're just really bowing to the clear seeing in the rage, and the clear seeing in the hurt, and the clear seeing in the nervous system that's going, oh, we didn't like that, that was awful. And even in memory, we're just bowing to it all so it can come back here. And notice their safety and respect here, now.
I guess I get panicked with it because, like I said, sometimes it feels like it takes on a life of its own because of the size of it.
Well, that's because it's ripe to uncontain itself. So if you like, we could do a sit on the phone sometime. I also recommend a book called The Presence Process by Michael Brown, and he has a very simple breathing exercise that helps get, you know, the scary past out of the body in a very loving way, very soft. But now, just one last bow to everybody inside, and just yes, yes, yes. You never want that to happen again. That never has to happen again.
Yeah. And I suppose it's just, I like your metaphor about freezing, because, I don't know, perhaps that's what has to be okay, is the fact that some things get melted and not blasted into quietness again.
Yeah. We have a misunderstanding in about the unfoldment. It's actually grace when things like rage and anger come and join the Sangha. Because it's your deep rootedness that tightened to defend you, and now it's saying, I want to go back and just be your taproot. Because otherwise we're this gentle, soft, shakeable sensitivity. And that's not our deepest pleasure. We want to be a mountain and soaring. You don't just want to be soaring and open and so the rage and the even the deep hurt are bringing home your stability, your constancy, and your compassion. So the messengers of the gods are always disguised. They're not, you know, it's not like compassion like comes in on Pegasus or something. And yeah.
Gosh. Wow. What a funny world. So disguised, I wouldn't have seen it.
So the rage is your unshakable strength, and the hurt is compassion. It's like little baby Kuan Yin, so you want to go down and be with her.
Sweet.
Okay, dear.
Thank you so much.
Oh, much love, much bows.
Thank you so much.
Bye, dear.
Bye-bye.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Well, I want to thank that last caller for being present to all that and talking about those big and initially scarier unpleasant appearing experiences, that I was listening and my heart felt softening and I was crying and just feeling all those things being welcomed and being honored.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. And the other thing I wanted to say is that you and I were sitting on the phone the other night, and I didn't say very much, and then I got a little concerned that, oh, I should say more or be talking or something, and then afterwards I opened this book. I ordered this book to Full Writings of Ramana Maharshi or something like that. And I just randomly opened it, and there was this page all about silence. Like, oh, thank you.
Oh, that's it. That's the original language is silence. There's never a misunderstanding. It's always eloquent.
Yeah. Well, we hope. Yeah. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for honoring our caller before as well and being touched.
Yes, it's universal, it's true, and it's what wants to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Hi, this is Julie.
I didn't hear your name, love.
Hello?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Oh, okay. This is Julie again, and I just wanted to second what Carrie said, that it would be lovely to have a guided meditation or some kind of Pamela thing we could listen to from time to time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, love.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Pamela?
Yes.
It's Amandine.
Oh, Amandine. Comment vas-tu?
Okay.
Oh.
When we were sitting before, I guess it was not so easy because I felt my heart is pounding fast.
Yeah.
I guess something that had gone for a while came back. I don't know how to make peace with it. I used to feel close to people and to enjoy being around them, but now I feel that I want to be alone more often, and I feel alienated. And I also feel some meaninglessness, and I don't know where it's taking me. I don't know how to, what to welcome.
Okay. Yeah. So which one is stronger in this moment? Which one is asking for your loving attention?
The feeling of being alone and choosing to be alone, and at the same time feeling that I would like to connect with others, but I find it hard to find the balance.
Yeah. But bring them both here. Would that be all right? Let them come
yes.
closer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a pair of opposites.
Mm-hmm.
Just welcoming them like they're two innocents. One wants to go play in its room and be quiet, and the other one wants to go outside and play.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying yes to both of them because both have truth in the moment, yeah?
Yeah.
And neither are forever because they change from moment to moment. I'm just inviting them both to rest.
It feels dangerous.
It feels dangerous?
To be alone, to... It feels like it's going to last forever. I know it's not true, but
yeah.
It feels like...
Yeah, peace. And just reassure that. And just, it's safe. Just once in a while we like to be alone. It's not forever. I like looking at nature because nature in winter it kind of goes into its cave and retreats.
It's true.
And then in spring it comes out and dances. And so we're just returning back to our natural rhythms because we're nature and life and. So would that be okay if it was
yeah.
nature?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is it the mind that's worried or more the emotions or the heart?
Maybe the mind.
Yeah.
Like you're going to be alone forever or...
Yeah.
You will see no one, you will be alone forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And ask the mind if that's true, with a capital T.
Mm-hmm.
Is it la vérité with a capital V, or is it a worry?
It's not true.
Not true. And let the mind know, because the mind is sort of talking about itself, because the mind feels alone. Because we haven't been a friend to the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let the mind know, I'm here. I'll never leave you. Let's be friends. And what is our friend of mine doing now?
I'm not sure if it believes me. I don't know if it believes me.
Yeah, and tell it, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe anything. And just see what the mind needs, because the mind doesn't seem happy. What does it need?
It needs to know there's a direction. There's no direction right now.
Okay. Would it be okay if there was a direction that would just arise when it did?
Yeah.
Grace?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the heart feels better now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a relaxing that took place.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, the mind just had its hand up in your satsang. And sometimes what the mind thinks it's worried about is not really what it's worried about, so we have to stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it confesses its deeper concern. No direction! Uh-oh! What are we going to do?
Thank you. Thanks
oh,
so much.
Thank you, love. And just honor the natural retreat. I notice in the winter, even though in Northern California we don't have a strong winter, but there is a natural retreat that happens with the colder weather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And send me an email. I have an idea for your direction.
Okay.
Okay, love.
I will. Thank you. Thank you much, love, to you.
Okay.
Goodbye.
A bientôt.
A bientôt.
Hello, Pamela?
Yes.
Hi, this is Anne. I talked to you, I believe, in the last telesatsang.
Wonderful.
Although I could have missed one. And at that time, it was before I was going to have foot surgery. And so I've had the foot surgery, and that's not really directly, I don't think it's directly what I want to talk about, but I think what I want to talk about is coming up, because, you know, I've had so much time just not moving a lot, so needing to be still and not on my foot and that kind of thing. And so what I'm noticing is what I feel like is in some ways that it's difficult to fully relax, that there's kind of this background. Well, it's a sensation, and then sometimes it's also words, that I think are related to fear, or, you know, that, you know, it's just not okay to fully let go and to relax, and it's kind of a background chatter and also mm-hmm. a sensation.
Yes.
In my body.
Yes, and it's not personal to you. I'm just honoring that that's sort of a protective app. Like, don't
mm-hmm.
relax fully just in case. So just
right.
thank it for protecting. And the gratitude doesn't have to be sincere in the beginning. Just a few thank you for protecting. There you are. Uh-huh. Like you're noticing a guard at the back door, and you're going, oh, thank you for protecting. Thank you for protecting. And if you're so inclined, we could interview it and ask it what its concern is about relaxation.
Okay. Well, what I feel like happens is it just doesn't really say anything. It just kind of amps up.
That's it. So we want to take all the pressure off of it because, and if you're so inclined, you could just say something like, you don't have to rest or relax, and no one wants to fire you. Just reassuring it. Doesn't have to do anything it doesn't want to do. So we're honoring its being true to itself. It's being true to its job, which is vigilance. And I like to add that its strength is welcome here, or natural strength is welcome here.
Yeah, it does resonate that it has, could really be something that has to do with strength,
mm-hmm.
with allowing strength.
Yeah, because the defenses are made of pure strength, but they're vigilant, which means they're tight. So by honoring the essence of the defenses, which is pure strength, and also an amazing awareness, then they feel seen and honored. Because only a sage would honor them. And that sends a double message that they can stand down or relax. And live just as pure strength that carries the innocence. So a few more times just honoring them as natural strength.
And does that include fear? I imagine it does.
Well, fear, can we invite fear a little closer and show it its true nature? Because we also
mm-hmm.
don't want to fire its true nature. Its true nature is glorious. So you could ask fear, thank it first for protecting and being your resident alarm. And ask it who it was before it was fear. And reassure it that we're not trying to fire it or make it go away.
It does feel like it was the strength.
Can you just for a moment just cherish this moment, because it's very precious where fear notices its naturalness as courage and just pure strength. And it has a big heart, too, because otherwise it wouldn't have freaked out on your behalf. Worried love. Does it like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's very helpful to connect with the strength that's really behind these things I've talked about. Yeah.
Yes, because then it's safe to relax. I once was lucky enough to go to Kenya in Africa, and the most relaxed animals were, of course, the lions and the elephants. So they knew their big mountain strengths, and so they could fully relax, whereas everyone else was a little nervous. All the other animals were going, whoa, So you want to have this lion strength and lion-heartedness uncontain itself and kind of stretch out and sunbathe a little bit.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for giving satsang inside.
Yes. Thank you.
Hello, Pamela?
Hi there.
This is Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Can you hear me with the speakerphone on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I had this interesting experience. I've told you I have this woman I hired who doesn't speak English to an extreme degree, and I think I'm getting so involved with wanting her to speak English. It's bringing it back to a very early place in my life of a pre-verbal place. So the other day when she was here and I had a simple thing I said to her, and she was just, and I think she's also very depressed. It's not just English. When I say there's a certain response, unresponse that, whatever. So I was, after that, I got very, very queasy and sick to the point at the end of the day, I called up these doctors and I went to the emergency room. And while waiting in the emergency room, which is a long wait, I said, this is really so overwhelming, this sicky feeling, I should sit. And I sat, and I sort of fell asleep, and I woke up, and I sat, and just went into just being present with it and noticing, and it went away. And that was quite remarkable. I mean, this was really totally, you know, like you when you're somehow just feeling just overwhelmed by a feeling of being sick, so sicky, or however you want to say it.
Yes.
But I'm seeing that this relationship to seeing how this woman doesn't understand English, and it frightens me, and it also brings up a very early terror, I think, of being not understood.
Mm-hmm.
And
not being able to communicate your needs before you had language, yeah.
Yes. And I see she's an innocent, you know, because she speaks Amharic, and she speaks to her friends, and she's, her friends say she's very intelligent, but when it comes to English, something, there's, and also in her presence, there's not much vitality. You know, so that's why I think there's depression. But basically, it
stirs you, and it she was gifting you with some amazing freedom,
yeah.
Wasn't she?
Oh no, she's still working for me, it probably has something to do with me. Well, very early, before pre-verbal, and it's my mother's depression or something.
Well, we don't have to know, but there it moved through. A huge, huge thing from the past moved through. So we could bow to her and say, thank you.
No, yes, I appreciate that. But it's been interesting, yeah. And the appreciating the practice of just sitting and going into the stillness or someplace to deep awareness.
Yes.
Something.
What a wonderful report, Charlie, and such grace.
Yeah, I thank you and I appreciate it. It's actually good being in my little studio where I'm usually alone, and I'm actually was preparing some food while I'm listening and just having you visit.
My pleasure. All of our pleasure.
And listening to everyone else in the deep place people share from.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, much love, dear.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Hey, Pamela, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
I wanted to follow on to Charlie's noticing something really, really gifted to him, and that is with my father's death, I find myself doing my habit of years of worry. Is he taking his medication? Is the medication interacting? Is he in
pain? He's taking the ultimate medication, which is meditation.
And now realizing, even though I'm going through the habit of it, he doesn't need to worry. All those things I was worried about didn't really happen to that degree. And it's lovely.
Yes, and thank the mind because it has that worry app. And just thank you for loving him. He's fine.
He's free. Yes. Thank you, Pamela.
Oh, much love, dear. And bowing to your dad.
Thank you, yes.
Pamela?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Carol Rowley.
Hi, welcome, dear.
Hi, nice to hear you.
Likewise.
I've just been so blessed by all these callers who seem to somehow be addressing the issues that I feel are coming up. But one of the things is this sense of sort of uselessness, a sense of, I guess that's not really the right word, but that I can't get my life together in a way that serves right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is I will find myself trying to do little tasks. I'll put something down in the wrong place, and I'll spend a half an hour stumbling around looking for it and sobbing.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, just because I feel like I've lost this kind of reason or this center that knows that it has this, it feels that there's a lot of letting go of things and moving on in a very dynamic way. But in the meantime, all the old stuff in the psyche is putting a stop to everything.
Mm.
I don't know how much to better explain it.
Yeah. But just there, some protection is sort of layered often. So a lot of, you've sat with so much of, you know, the sort of surface protections and the deeper ones. And here's just another layer. And just thanking it for protecting.
Mm.
You don't have to know anything more than something has its foot on the brake.
Right.
Yeah, and just thank you for protecting. Just a few times, almost like a lullaby, one of your beautiful songs. Thank you for protecting.
It almost feels like there's a viciousness towards myself, but not, I can honor the thanking for the protection, but there's still the underlying thing that says, you have missed out on so much. You have done yourself a disservice.
Yeah, so that harsh voice,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be good to bring it here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the judging, critical voice, ask it if its greatest pleasure is to put you down, or would it like to know its true nature?
It knows its true nature, and it loves its true nature in certain circumstances, and that is mostly with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Being in public, being seen, being acknowledged for what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very happy. But when I'm at home and I shut myself away, it feels, it's almost like angry.
Yeah, and it attacks you.
Yes.
Yeah. So we don't really have to know a lot more other than we can notice it's frustrated, it's attacking, and it's judging and disapproving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just invite it, come here, like you're the big mama compassion, and you can notice it's suffering and snapping and biting and scratching. And so it's like a little rescue animal that we want to bring here.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And what would satisfy it forever? What does it need? We'll let it lead the satsang.
Just this big word jumps up and just says judgment.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And who was it before it was judgment? And it doesn't have to know. It could just look behind that veil, really.
Well, I get joy.
Aha, very nice.
Yeah, lots of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sort of too much jumping about.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I just saw something. So here, the way I would speak of the true nature of judgment is discernment, and it jumped over that just to the pure joy. And then you noticed that there was a slight imbalance. It was just too bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. So yeah. Ask it if it could live as joy with discernment. Would it like that? Because it wasn't full yes about just living as joy.
Well, you know what? I'm just being overwhelmed by joy right now.
Oh, so good. So just to that. Joy to the world.
Absolutely.
Just, big joy is welcome.
Yeah, it just feels like I want to jump around and dance.
Big joy is welcome here.
It really does feel extraordinary and beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, see if it resonates. Can you get a sense that judgment was trying to protect joy? And it was trying to put joy down so joy didn't jump around too much and get in trouble or get hurt? Almost like a nanny.
Yes, I completely...
A nanny bodyguard for joy.
I really can see it, and Nanny has been really pushing the joy down.
Yes.
Really pushing it down. Yeah.
So now the bodyguard just wants to know that joy is going to be discerning, meaning street smart, meaning like aware.
Because
when we're quite young, we're pure dancing joy. But innocent and naive, and we get in trouble, and then so judgment and the bodyguards go, gotta keep her at home. So we're just noticing all the different devotional bodyguards. But big joy is street smart now, so it doesn't need all that extra.
Well, it's sort of standing up and going, you know, you can't stop me from going out there and having fun and experiencing what you think, you know, needs experiencing.
Okay. Yeah, so just bow to joy now and notice how immense it is. And it has mountain strength and clear seeing and big heart.
It does. And I think for years, when I had bad habits and sort of another, more a very unstable life, in terms of placing myself in one specific place, I think I had to keep a lot of that, down to protect myself.
Yes.
For some reason, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she's back now.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh, really? It's so wonderful, Pamela. Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Beautiful satsang.
Oh.
Is it too late? This is Leah, Carrie and Larry's sister.
Hi, sweet.
Hi.
No, it's fine. We have enough timelessness left.
Okay. It just felt like there's this pause, and I noticed how I've been dancing around. I'm not calling in the past few times I've signed up. And I guess the biggest question, and it's something I sit with a lot, is of all the questions I was going to ask is about finding that place of balance between being of service to others and your own beingness.
Yeah.
Knowing that we're all one, but I am in the service world, and I have private practice, and I teach, and there's a huge calling, but then sometimes Leia gets lost, and then I tried to take space. I thought I was going to take 2015 as a sabbatical, and then my heart said, no, you're an eight. This is an 8 year, and where you live is an eight. It's like it's a year of manifesting, and it's like, okay, well, I have to manifest Leia too, not just...
Yeah, so let's just honor for a moment this natural calling to serve.
Okay.
So we bow to that.
Okay.
It's also such a blessing that we've been drafted into that, so we thank you.
Yeah, sometimes I fight it, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we're just going to sort of soothe everyone inside because the tension is born from the conflicting desires.
Yeah.
And underneath that is just pure longing, which is deeply at rest and balanced. So we're just sort of bowing to all our inner servants and all that. Just yes. And then just reassuring everyone inside, I call them apps, even though they're also divine. It's sort of rude to call them apps, but... So just bowing and inviting them all to rest, just reassuring them it's safe to rest. The gifts are still given, but from deep rest and balance. So you are already that, and I know you know that deep rest and balance. But the body is like a musical instrument, and sometimes the strings are too tight.
Yeah.
Or too loose. And so we're just inviting all the strings to notice they can rest. Rest. Natural to rest. And then see an image of your own embodiments, an image of you, your body, mind. And if you like, you can garland her, like put flowers around her neck and touch her feet, honoring her as divine and as the great mystery. The mind thinks our gift can only be given through doingness, but many of the great shamans and sages can be deep in the jungle or deep hidden in the forest and touching all beings without moving.
Yes.
So we're just reminding the instrument that if it rests, its transmission is actually more effective because when it rests, it uncontains its field and then it can balance the group consciousness without running around.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to do both since we're modern sages or shamans. We're just bowing. because modern life equals strings too tight, period.
Right, well said.
So we're just bowing and reminding it it's a mountain sage or a shaman. It's a forest, elemental deity, really.
Yeah.
And you're so wise to notice, especially for the feminine, when she honors herself, her whole field opens and then she starts transmitting. And that's why there's a taboo, at least in the feminine, to honor herself, because the divine feminine gets uncontained and she is pure balance. So we're just bowing to the mystery within, to even the mystery of the body-mind,
yeah.
Which is the five elements, which is pure grace and love. And the more we honor our own embodiment, the more the five elements feel fed and nourished, and then they can rise up and live the life. Because as far as I can tell, the gift that this world needs is, as you said so beautifully, balance. But the return back to prior to the divine and the human is the really juicy mystery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so by feeding it within ourselves, it awakens and balances everything. And as far as I can tell, its food is devotion and gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because humanity has kind of ignored the deepest mystery. So it kind of withered and went into a bit of a samadhi meditation retreat. So by honoring it inside, it's like springtime. It's like, oh, spring. Yeah. And thank you for your wisdom and service and big love.
Yeah, no, thank you. I just appreciate all the reminders.
Yes.
I definitely need the deep reminding.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Deep bows, dear.
Much love.
Much love. And I'm going to return this hosting back to Kate and to East Bay Open Circle, and deep bows to everyone. Thank you for your love.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, everyone, for such a sweet time together. Pamela will be joining us in February, the first Sunday of February. Same time and same place. She will also be joining us again February 15th, so the 1st and 15th of February. And this time we'll just go ahead and allow you to unmute yourself to say goodbye if you so desire. And we look forward to joining again soon.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks beyond measure. Much appreciation and gratitude.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you so much, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Pamela, goodbye.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you. Big hug.